It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Hundreds of public and private high schools make up the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. We discuss the prep sports landscape and a division expansion underway for girls volleyball. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Stephanie Hauser is here, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. Stephanie, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me, Kate.
So in recent days, the association approves adding a fifth division for girls' high school volleyball. Why does girls' volleyball need five divisions when boys' volleyball has one?
Well, that's a fair question. Right now, girls volleyball has about 430 teams across the state, whereas the boys have about 66 teams in the state. And
wow.
So with that type of a imbalance, the boys are actually represented at a little bit of a higher percentage than the girls are, believe it or not, with only one division. Although we are excited about both because there's been growth in both sports with boys volleyball going up over 66 teams this next fall, and that's increased by about 10 teams over the past several years. So growth is good on both ends. We're excited about having more teams at the state championship to experience all that Green Bay and the Resch Center has to offer.
So why is volleyball having this moment? Why is it booming?
You know, I think that you see that popularity across all of the levels right now. You know, you saw this fall during the women's season, the NCAA season, viewership at an all-time high with record-breaking attendance. So I just think that it is a sport right now that has gained not only in participation interest, but also fan interest. So I believe that what we're seeing at the high school level is reflective of that.
So how does the association decide which schools belong in which divisions for volleyball?
That is by and large determined by the school enrollment. And that has been a means of determining divisional placement for the entire history of the WIAA. Now, there are some other factors that can be included in that and take a look at your performance in recent tournament history. But by and large, it starts with the enrollment of the high school. So the girls volleyball with five divisions, again, the largest 112 schools in the state will be in Division One, and then Divisions 2, 3, 4, and 5 will be divided equally with about 80 schools in each of the respective divisions.
Do you think, will you see a cap on this? I mean, do you think this trend, this growth that you're seeing in volleyball, will that continue, especially when you look at 430 teams with girls?
Well, we always hope so. Participation of student athletes is always the number one goal. So by continuing growth within the sports that we currently offer, such as girls and boys volleyball, is always a goal, but also adding new sports where we've seen interest, such as girls wrestling, which was added 3 years ago, and those numbers have grown exponentially. And then also girls and boys lacrosse, which will launch this spring. So the goal is getting kids connected with their high schools through participation on these athletics teams.
And we're going to talk about wrestling and lacrosse later. But with volleyball, is your Board of Control making any other changes to volleyball rules?
The rules of the sport itself are largely determined by the National Federation of High Schools. So the rules of the game, a rule book, so to speak, really isn't determined at the state level. That's determined at the national level. But all other related decisions, such as the addition of a division, things like that, are determined by the Board of Control. Melissa Gehring, who is one of our executive staff members who oversees the sport, has worked tirelessly over this past year to come up with new formats for the state championship, because certainly it has to change how it looks when you add four additional teams in. And so that state tournament itself will be expanded by a half a day. It will start on Wednesday afternoon and evening and continue with championships through Friday night and Saturday. And again, as you mentioned, those are finally approved by the Board of Control.
We're talking about high school sports with the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. We have the organization's executive director, Stephanie Hauser, with us. You can join in with questions and comments at any point. The number is 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. So, Stephanie, the association's Board of Control approved plans for a new student leadership group. How will this group influence high school sports here in Wisconsin?
Well, we can't wait to see what the impact will be. One of our executive staff members, LeVar Ridgway, has worked over the past almost 2 years with our membership, gaining feedback from our athletic directors, principals, and superintendents to ask them, how can the addition of a statewide student leadership group help you and your school to do more and have more impact? Coincidentally, the National Federation of High Schools, I mentioned previously, also has launched a student leadership committee at the national level. So we really feel like that student voice is powerful. We can gain a lot of feedback from the students, and in turn, we believe we can offer better opportunities for the students because of the feedback they're providing. We plan right now to involve these students at the state level, give them some roles and responsibilities at our state championships, thereby exposing them to the multiple athletic, administrative, and related careers, sports marketing, statistics, communications, the media. Again, all that event management, we think that that's a great opportunity to expose those kids to that.
And so is it like a way for students then to better understand the sports industry and how their sport works?
That is one of the primary goals of this student leadership council that we are forming, is to help expose them and give them a bigger understanding. If this is something that they have a passion for and they love, we want to expose them to understanding what else is out there. Being a professional athlete is just not an option for most kids, but staying involved in so many ways is an option. And this is an excellent way to let them know what's out there.
How are students picked to be in this role?
It will be an application and an interview process. Will involve members of the board, as you mentioned. Some of our executive staff will be involved. And then because this is the very first launch of it, we won't have students as part of the selection process. But in the future, we plan to have members of the council themselves be part of that interview team to select students. It'll be consisting of juniors and seniors. They'll have a two-year term on the council. And looking forward to the launch of it this spring with opening up that application process and selection process.
So the application and nomination start in March, is that right?
That is our hope, to have that application ready to go, yes. And we will be selecting a representative council from across the seven WIAA districts.
Let's take a call now. Lori is with us in Madison. Lori, hi, go ahead.
Hi. I've been involved with the grassroots level of volleyball all of my life. Played college myself and came from a very small rural hometown in Wisconsin. As I've grown, I've seen, my question is, currently WIAA does not allow scholarships, and I am concerned that across the country, that is not the rule. I believe after reading our rules about 10 years ago that the rules are interpreted in a way that continues the disparities in our sport, and the sport needs to be inclusive of everyone. And I think there's a lot of people that want to see more equity in volleyball. And I was wondering if you would be looking at the rules across the nation to try to have ours be more in alignment with what is going on around the country in terms of everyone being able to participate more equitably.
Lori, thank you for that question. Stephanie.
Thanks, Lori. Appreciate your question. And certainly you're right. We want to do whatever we can in this office to help break down barriers that would prevent student athletes from being involved. One of the things that the membership will be taking a look at this spring is the use of name, image, and likeness. And again, amateur status is unique to high school sports. And that's what Lori is referencing, the not allowing students to receive scholarships to participate in athletics. And again, it comes back to the nature of and the philosophy of being an amateur athlete versus being a paid athlete. I do believe that the membership will be voting on name, image, and likeness this spring. It is it has moved through the membership for a lot of discussion over the past couple of years. And again, that would potentially open up some opportunities for student athletes to capitalize on their own name, image, and likeness and be able to gain some financial means related to athletics. Now, would that allow for scholarships per se? No, it would not directly, but it would open up some opportunities for student athletes for financial gain.
Is name, image, and likeness at the high school level, is that a way to retain athletes in a particular state? I mean, as you look at the landscape across the country and other states allowing it.
That has grown a lot in recent years. We are at about 30 of the 51 state associations that now have adopted some type of name, image, and likeness allowances. And so you're right, it has grown, Kate. We are looking at those states that have put the language in. We're looking at their language very closely. We're modeling our language that the membership will potentially be voting on this spring to look like what other state associations have done. Could it keep kids? Sure, it could. I don't know that we are losing many kids to other states because of name, image, and likeness restrictions at this time. But you're right, that could happen. That number could grow.
What are some other ways that could help improve equity in volleyball in particular?
Providing affordable ways for students to be involved. One of the things that I'm not sure, but maybe Lori is referencing too, is playing club volleyball, which can be very expensive. And that is not something that the WIA oversees, is the club sports. And so oftentimes I think that there are kids that can't afford that type of training. So what we encourage our member schools to do is offer affordable, free, or very, very minimal cost opportunities for student athletes to continue to grow and learn within that sport.
Stephanie Hauser leads the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. As we discuss topics related to high school sports, call in with a question. You can add your comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss issues and priorities in Wisconsin prep sports with the nonprofit Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association that organizes play for its hundreds of member schools. And we have the association's executive director, Stephanie Hauser, with us. You can join in, call in with a question, share your viewpoint, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Stephanie, the association's board of control discussed ongoing efforts last week to recruit and retain licensed referees. How is your group trying to address ref shortages?
It is a challenge, and it really peaked during the pandemic. Schools and our association saw, you know, all-time low numbers. Let's start with good news. The good news is we are seeing that our number of licensed officials is back up to pre-pandemic numbers. We have a goal of 10,000 licensed officials, and we're at that. So that's the exciting part of it. But let's also be realistic. We were already in a shortage situation prior to the pandemic, so we're still there. I think the biggest piece that's changed that is very encouraging to us is we are now seeing efforts by everyone. They've embraced that this is all of our challenges, not just the WIAA. We can't do it alone. We need schools. We need officials of associations. We need conferences. We need adults, coaches, and fans in the stands. We need everyone on board to help us not only recruit new officials, but to keep the ones we already have and to retain those. So it is a continued challenge. One of the biggest things we've seen as of late that's exciting is we have so many high schools now that are offering courses to their high school students to get licensed. So our number of licensed high school students is over 1,200, and that is very encouraging about the future and what's to come.
So do you think, though, high school students can give some relief, can be an answer to this shortage? I mean, these are young people out there officiating games.
It is certainly, again, it's hope for the future. What the schools are doing is primarily using those high school students at their middle school games or on the weekend tournaments to try to give them that exposure and that experience that they need. It does not give them immediate help for working junior varsity and varsity level contests. Mm. Those are still, you know, officiated by licensed officials who are adults. But again, it is getting those kids the exposure and the understanding of how this all works and start training them early. The number one reason that officials get into and stay in the professional officiating is the relationships. So helping those kids network and build those connections early is really key.
WGBA-TV talked with the president of the Green Bay Officials Association last football season about the shortage. And let's listen to Tim Marquardt talking about the negative criticism officials face.
We lose a lot of officials who succumb to the negative feedback that they get during play. We've had people who've gotten followed to their car, or, you know, where somebody will say, I'm going to see you after the game.
Is the solution to the state's referee shortage about sportsmanship? Is it about paying referees more money? What do you think of those types of issues?
The National Level Officials Association, NASO, just recently completed a survey with tens of thousands of officials from across the nation responding. And the number one reason that they say that they leave the profession is because it is negative adult behavior. And that includes the fans in the stands, the coaches. So it indeed is a challenge. The amount that they're being paid is a concern. It is a factor, but it is not the number one. Most officials do it because they love it. They do want to be compensated for their time, but it's not about the money for them. It's about the love of the game and giving back. So certainly Tim hit it right on the head. That is the reason why officials are discontinuing their licensing.
It is, I would imagine, though, difficult to control that type of behavior and any types of threats. You know, what is your position on that?
Well, when it comes to the school-affiliated athletics, we rely heavily on the school leadership to have a solid event management plan, which includes crowd security, officials liaison, someone who will be with the officials as they leave the court, as they come onto the court, and yes, sometimes even to walk them out to their car, depending on the situation. But again, having those plans in place, and our school leaders are very effective at doing that. So giving them the support that they need, addressing fan behavior. We have recently implemented a fan ejection policy. When an official ejects a fan from the stands, they are not allowed to come back for the next contest. And so schools are expected to uphold those standards of excellence.
We're talking with Stephanie Hauser, who leads the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association, as we discuss high school sports, the landscape here in Wisconsin. Call in with questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Peter in Pewaukee is here. Hi, Peter. What's on your mind?
Yes, Stephanie. Does the WIAA have any monitoring system in place for recruitment of athletes by coaches, which obviously is theoretically illegal?
Recruiting athletes by coaches, Stephanie.
Undue influence is not allowed by WIAA member schools. And so, Peter, we rely very heavily on the membership to alert our office when they believe that undue influence has occurred. This office itself does not have an investigative arm. And so we present the situation back to the member school, and the member school investigates the claims that were made. And if indeed it is found that there was undue influence that occurs, there are sanctions outlined in the WIAA constitution that can be subjected to member schools, to the whole school, to the whole athletic program, to a specific program, you know, if it's just one single sport that the violation occurred in. So, yes, there are steps in place to address that.
Are there single sports that stand out to you? I mean, is this a football issue? Is it bigger than that?
I don't think it's a single issue. I think it's probably across the board. I don't know if Peter had a single sport in mind when he was asking the question, but I don't think we see it tied to any one sport.
In terms of wrestling, the state tournament for girls and boys is set for February 22nd to the 24th in Madison. And you say the number of girls participating in high school wrestling is rapidly growing. What is driving this growth?
Well, the WIAA sanctioned the sport of girls wrestling 3 seasons ago, and now our associate director, Mal Dow, leads and oversees that sport, and he has a true passion for that sport. He is working very closely with a small committee of people who are focused very closely on the sport of girls wrestling specifically, doing everything they can to increase the numbers. We've gone from just over 450 in year one, 2 seasons ago, to last year, just over 700. And this year, there are over 1,200 girls wrestling in the high school, at the high school ranks in our state. So it is very exciting. Starting last year, the girls were featured at the state championship at the Cole Center alongside the boys. So that growth is very exciting. We also are seeing some growth in the boys' numbers as well. So overall, just an excitement for the sport of wrestling.
Okay, so you're seeing growth there, growth in volleyball. In our last few moments together, what else can Wisconsin do to, you know, improve high school athletics?
Finding ways to make something accessible to kids, as Lori mentioned, that's important. Hmm. The number one success factor of kids in high school is just being connected to their school, whether it's through a fine arts program, a club or an activity, whether it's a sporting event. When students are connected, they succeed. They do well. So again, we want to just keep seeking new opportunities for kids to get connected and looking for those new things that excite them. As I mentioned earlier, the launch of Boys and Girls Lacrosse this spring. Again, another new way to connect kids to their high school.
Stephanie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kate. I appreciate it.
Stephanie Hauser is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.